Okay, the subtopic we're going to discuss today concerning this Mishnah. Let me just repeat the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in the third Perek, the sixth Mishnah, according to this setup. Rav Nechunya ben Akana Omer kol ha-mekabel of all Torah, mavirin mimenu ol malchus v'ol derech eretz. Person who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, and we spoke about this idea of a yoke, if it's Torah is a yoke or Torah is an opportunity, then really it's both. It's an opportunity, but it's a tremendous responsibility at the same time. So a person who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, which we'll discuss what that means, so he's relieved of the yoke of Malchus, which means that he doesn't have to serve the government, to go into the army or whatever, and all Derech Eretz, he doesn't have to earn a living. But somebody who already had accepted that yoke and took it off himself, so no Snimalov, then he has to serve the government and he has to serve, he has to earn a living. Okay. So that's what I wanted. The subtopic now is this concept of learning Torah and being supported by other people. Is that an ideal? Does everybody should be doing that? Right? Is there a place for people who work and learn? Everybody has to learn Torah. Well, men at least have to devote a portion of their day to Torah learning. Right? Kavias itim la Torah. But does everybody, all men, have to devote all their time to Torah learning and be supported by other people? But if everybody's doing it, who's going to support them? So we'll see. We'll see what the... we'll take this slow. So if you're here today, you have to come next week. Okay? Because I don't want anybody to make any conclusions before we finish and see the whole picture. And then we can make conclusions what is the halacha. From seeing a portion of something, you only get a distorted picture. Okay. So let me start with a few sources, and we'll see that there is a lot of what to discuss here, because there's a lot of questions. Let's start with a Mishnah in Kedushin. The Mishnah is on 82A, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, the last Mishnah in Kedushin. And the Mishnah says like this. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Chayiv Adam, Lelamed Esbino, Laolam, Yelamed Adam Esbino, Umnes Nekia Vakala. Person should always, meaning this is something that is a responsibility, must teach his child a clean and easy trade. Okay? A father has to teach his child a clean and easy trade. But along with that, he should daven that he should be successful. Because no trade guarantees you're going to make a parnasa. I know doctors who are in debt, and shoemakers who, Baruch Hashem, are rich people. So it's not the trade that makes you rich or not, it's the Rabbanu Shalom. So you better daven along with whatever trade you learn. And the Gemara says, in those days, what was a clean? Clean means that you can do it without too much problems of halacha, right? You're not going to have to steal and cheat or whatever. And easy. What it was an example of that in the time of the Gemara? Weaving or embroidering. That's what men learned to make a parnasa. That's Reb Meir. So according to this, every father must teach his child a trade, and a person has to work for a living. Then the end of the Mishnah says, Reb Nehuroi Omer, Reb Nehuroi Lechara argues, and Reb Nehuroi says, Meiniach ani kol umne shebaolam, I will forego teaching my child any trade, ve'eini malamenes b'ni ala Torah, I will only teach my child Torah. He will not learn a trade. And then he goes and extols the merits of Torah learning. So we have an argument, many arguments in Judaism. Seemingly, Reb Meir holds, you must teach your child a trade, person has to work, and set aside times for learning. And Reb Nehuroi says, nothing, only teach him Torah, devote yourself totally to Torah, don't learn a trade. That's what it seems like on the surface. There's only one problem. The Gemara in Erevin says that Reb Meir and Reb Nehuroi were the same person. His name was Reb Nehuroi in Aramaic. Nehuroi means light. And he was called Reb Meir Sheheir Eine Yisrael Batorah, because he enlightened the Jewish people with Torah. So his personal name was Reb Nehuroi, was an Aramaic name meaning light, and his nickname was Reb Meir. So how in the world could Reb Meir and Nehuroi argue?
Doctor
never worked
for that.
What? Yes, it's schizophrenic. Right? How can they argue? How can they argue himself? And beyond that, right, Reb Meir saying you must teach your child to trade, but don't do as I say, I'm not going to do as I say, right? Do as I say, not as I do. I'm not teaching my child to trade. How could that be? One question.
I can think of an explanation.
Okay, we'll get to it. Hold it for a second because there's a lot more questions. Next. A contradiction in a Rambam. And unfortunately, some people know one of these two Rambams, and if you don't know both of them and know how to apply them properly, you're going to get a distorted view of what Klal Yisrael is and what Torah is. First Rambam is in Perek Gimel from Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Yud. I remember that because Gimel Yud is G, and when you'll hear this Rambam, you're going to say, G, wow, that's something that I never expected the Rambam to say. The Rambam says like this, Kol ha-meisim alibo, she-yasok ba-Torah, v'lo yasem alocha. Anyone who entertains the thought that he will dedicate himself to Torah and not work, and so how will he live? V'yisparneis min atzdaka. He will get a livelihood. But from tzedakah, people will donate money, so he should be able to live. That lecha'ora describes a kolel. Yeah, people learning. And how do they exist? Because people donate money for the upkeep of the kolel. So what does the Rambam say? Anyone who entertains that thought, harizeh chilul as Hashem, he's desecrating God's name, ubiza es haTorah, he's disgracing the Torah, insulting the Torah, the kava moradas, he's extinguishing the light of religion, the gorem ro liatzmo, he's causing evil to himself, the notel chayv, and if that's not enough, the notel chayv, and he loses his share in the world to come. For what? Learning in a kol. Yeah. Lefisha osu lehonos b'divrei Torah b'olam hazeh, says the Rambam. Why? Because you're not allowed to get personal benefit from learning Torah in this world. And here a person's making a living off of learning Torah. Amru chachomim kol nehenah b'divrei Torah notel chayv min ha'olam. Whoever gets personal benefit, material benefit from learning Torah, is taking his life out of the world to come. Va'od shivu va'amru lo sase matar l'skadol bohem v'lo kardum mach bohem. Shouldn't use the Torah as a decoration to decorate yourself. In other words, don't learn in order to get covet. V'lo kardum, and don't use it as an axe to dig with. Don't use it to make a living. The old shivu v'amru elves ha-malachos snor sarabonus. V'chol Torah she'eni mo malacha sofa b'teila. Any Torah that doesn't have with it an worldly occupation, in the end, the person will not be able to learn Torah because he won't be able to exist, right? And the sof of them zeshim alasim. So in the end, he's going to end up stealing because he's not going to be able to make a living, right? He doesn't know how to work, so he'll have to steal in order to survive. So this pretty much says, let's close every kolo in the world. Because anybody who's sitting and learning in Kolo fits this description, and he's a terrible person who loses his share in the world to come. And there are people who quote this Rambam and say, you see, you can't have Kolo. The Rosh Kolo and the Gedolei Yisrael and the Rosh Yeshivas know this Rambam. Right? And they still have Kolo.
They're earning from the Kolo.
That's
their parnasa.
That's what he's saying. Somebody who thinks that he'll learn Torah and use that as a parnasa, and he'll live from tzedakah. Where does the Kolo get the money from? People donate money from tzedakah. No,
the Kolo light are living on the donations. But I'm saying the Rosh Yeshiva,
okay.
They're getting a salary.
Yeah, but where does that salary come from? Also, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, I don't advocate closing all the kol. There's another Rambam. And unfortunately, the people who know the first one don't know the second one. And unfortunately, also, sometimes people know the second one don't know the first one either. The Rambam says like this. This Rambam is in Perek Yud Gimel from Hilcha Shmita V'Yovel, Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. The Rambam starts with the following. V'lama lo zocha Levi benachlas Eretz Yisrael bizasa imechov. Why didn't Levi get a portion in Eretz Yisrael? When Eretz Yisrael was divided up, it was divided up to 12 tribes. Ephraim and Manasseh were considered two, and Levi didn't get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. He got 48 cities that were given to them by other tribes to live in, but they didn't own it. It wasn't their nachla. It was the nachla of that Shevet that allowed them to that the Torah said they had to give these cities for the Levium to live in. So why not? And why didn't they get from the spoils of the war when they conquered the Canaanim? Mipnei, so the reason the Rambam says is Mipnei Shehuv the Lavudas Hashem Ulishar, so because they were separated and designated to serve God and to minister to Him. Ulahoros Drachav Aisharim Umishpotav Atzadikim. They were the people who were supposed to teach the Jewish people Torah. Shneamar Yoru Mishpotech Aliyakov Esaros Israel. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave the bracha to Levi, he said, "You'll teach the Jewish people." Therefore, they are exempt from the normal worldly pursuits. Lo orchim b'chama k'shar Yisrael. They don't go into the army and and wage war like the rest of the Jewish people. V'lo nochlim, v'lo zochim li'as mekoach gufa. They don't get a physical portion in Eretz Yisrael. And they don't earn a living like everybody else. Elohim Chel Hashem. They are God's army. Right? And just like an army, you can say to a soldier, why don't you get a job? Right? Why should we support you? The community supports the soldiers. Right? Soldiers aren't fighting all the time. Right? So they have free time. Go get a job. Go get a part-time job. Why not? He has a job. He's a soldier. And he always has to be ready to do whatever's necessary to defend the country, and he has to always be in training or whatever. So he has a job. He can't get another job. If he gets another job, he's going to not be able to be the best soldier he can be. So the people who are Levim, they're God's army. So they're supported by the community, just like the army is supported by the community. That's what the Rambam is telling us. Shneamar Borech Hashem Chelo, God will bless his army. V'hu baruch hu zoch Elohim, and God provides for the Levim. Shneamar ani chelkecha v'nachlasecha. I'm your portion, says God to the Levim. Now, how does God provide to the Levim? He sends parachutes of care packages that they should be able to eat? No. How does God provide for the Levim? He tells the Jewish people to support them, to give truma, maaser, and so on. Matnas kahuna levia. So God supports the Levim by commanding the rest of the Jewish people to support them. Now the Rambam says, V'lo shevet Levi bilvad. This doesn't only apply to somebody who's born a Levi. Ela kol ish v'ish mikol boy olam. Any human being, must be even goyim. Asher nod varuch also, whose spirit, makes him want to dedicate himself. The Avinu Mado, and his intellect drives him. He wants to separate himself completely to be dedicated to service to Hashem. L'deis Hashem, to know God, meaning to learn Torah. V'holach yosher kamo shaso Elohim, and he wants to go straight the way God made people. Uporak me'al tzavaro olach heshbonos haravim asher bikshu b'nei odam, and he throws off all the mundane pursuits that people normally have, like earning a living. Harizen is kadosh kodesh kadoshim, says the Rambam, that person is holy of holies. V'yi Hashem chelko v'nachloso la'olam la'ol mi'olamim. God will be his portion forever. V'yizake lo b'olam hazeh dovra maspik lo. And God will provide for him what he needs to survive. K'mosh Ezekiel ha'kohanim, just like he provided for the Kohanim and Levim. Hare David omer Hashem minos chelki v'kosi atah tomich gorali. So now the Rambam saying that somebody who wants to separate himself, devote himself totally to service of Hashem, meaning learning Torah, serving the Rabbanu Shalom, teaching Torah like a Levi, God will provide for him like he provides for the Levim. What does that mean? So some of the Mepharshim say, well, it means, it has to mean he's going to work, because the Rambam said somebody doesn't want to work and lives off tzedakah is a terrible person. So Mestami, he'll work a little bit, and God will bless him, that he'll be able to survive. But that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says he'll support him like he supports the Levim. How does he support the Levim? Not they go to work for an hour and are blessed. They're supported by the rest of the Jewish people. So the same thing. God will see to it that other people support him. So this Rambam says that somebody who wants to dedicate himself to serve God, to learn Torah, and be supported by other people is holy of holies. And the other Rambam said, somebody who does that loses his share in the world to come is a terrible person. So which is it?
So he changed his mind, and we have to find out which one he wrote last.
No. The Rambam didn't change his mind. He wrote it down, right, in the same book. So there's got to be an answer when one applies, when the other one does. Okay, now...
Well, so maybe a compromise of the two... Rambam is saying, I'm giving you this extreme view, and I'm giving you this extreme view. And the reality and the ideal lie somewhere in between, a combination of the two.
Okay. We're going to say more that there's a qualification. But we'll get to it. Let's start with the... Start, give him some answers with another question. Another Gemara. The Gemara says like this. This Gemara is in Brachos. Lamed Hey Omid Beis. The Gemara says like this. Yet. Ah, here. Tana Rabbana. The Osafta Digonecha. Torah says you can go and gather your crops. Now, gathering your crops means that you planted them, you fertilized them, you plowed, you harvested, right? That means that you're working, right, in agriculture at least.
Or you own those crops.
But how can you own them if you didn't work on them? Okay, in other words, v'safta digonecha, what you put in, you'll collect. Not somebody else who collected for you, you'll collect it. So, Masma, you're working at least agriculture. Lefishanem arlo yomi sefer haTorah zemi picha v'hagisa bo yoma v'layla. Yet it says that person should never let go of learning Torah, and he should learn day and night. Now, if you're learning day and night, it doesn't leave too much time to do anything else. So, when are you doing all this agricultural work if you're learning full time? Yochel Dvarim Kichsavim, I may think you should take this literally, that you should learn all the time, right? How could that be? Talmud Lomar of Yosafta Digonecha says that you can be involved in agriculture. Hanegi Bohem Minig Derech Eretz, Divrei Mishmael. Mishmael says, no, the resolution to the contradiction is together with the Torah, together with the learning work. Haneg bohen minig derech eretz, with the Torah work. That's the resolution, which on the surface doesn't seem to make any sense. If the question was, it says you should learn all the time. So then combining learning with working is not learning all the time. That was the question. So how does Rabbi Yishmael answer the question by saying, do both. Do both, then you're not doing learning exclusively. So how does that answer the question? That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai argues. He says no. Efshar adam chorish b'shas chrisha v'zorea b'shas ria v'kotza b'shas ksira v'dosh b'shas disha v'zora b'shas haruach Torah mateyaleh. How can that be? That doing both is considered like you're learning all the time. How can that be? if you really have to get involved in agriculture, that means you have to plant and plow and harvest and winnow and all the other things. When are you going to learn? Ela bisman shosim ritzono shel makom, when they're doing God's will, malachto nasas al yedei acherim, other people will support you. And if the whole Jewish people are doing it, goyim will come and support us. And bisman she'eino sim ritzono shel makom, then you're going to have to work. So the pasuk that says you can gather in your crops is talking when you're not doing God's will. Then you're going to have to work. But the pasuk that says you can learn all the time is talking when you are doing God's will. Only one big problem with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Where is the pasuk v'yosafta digonecha? In the second parsha of Shema. How does that start? V'hoyoyim shamoa tishmua mitzvosai. Does that sound like a person not doing God's will? Sounds to me like he's doing God's will very nicely. And then it says, V'yosafta digonecha, V'nosati esev v'sodcha v'vimtecha v'yochalta v'savata. So that pasuk is in the context of people keeping mitzvahs and doing God's will. How could Rav Shimon Bar Yochai say that pasuk is talking when we're not doing God's will, and then we're going to be forced to work? If the pasuk is in the parsha, that seems to say clearly we're doing God's will. So we have two problems with this Gemara. How does Rav Yishmael resolve the contradiction between learning day and night, and that you can work, by saying, do both, and that's fine, now you're fulfilling both sentences, not true. You're not fulfilling the sentence of learning all the time. So let's first answer and explain Rabbi Shmuel, and then we'll explain Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The question of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is, how can he say that the pasuk about working is when you're not doing God's will, and the pasuk about learning all the time is when you are doing God's will, and then he'll enable you to learn all the time and be supported by others, if the pasuk, the Yosafta Digonecha, which talks about working, is in Shema, V'hoyim Shamoa, which is talking when you're doing God's will. So let's start with Rabbi Shmuel. I think the simplest way of explaining Rabbi Shmuel, even though I didn't see anybody who specifically says this, but I think that the simplest way of explaining Rabbi Shmuel means is the following. Rabbi Shmuel says like this, we have a pasuk that says you should learn day and night, 24/7. That can't be understood literally. Why not? Because you have to sleep. And even though I have balabatim that tell me that during my drasha, when they're asleep, they are learning, right? But I doubt very much if that's the case, okay? But you could, okay, maybe. You also have to eat, right? You can't learn when you're eating most of the time. And even if you could learn when you're eating and learn when you're sleeping, you have to go to the bathroom, and you're not allowed to learn in the bathroom. So it can't possibly mean to learn 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's humanly impossible. So what does it mean? Whenever it's humanly possible to learn, you should be learning. That's what it means, day and night. Day and night means any time of the day and any time of the night when you are capable of learning, you have to learn. Okay. So there are things that is not humanly possible to do. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to the bathroom. Says Rabbi Yishmael, there's one more thing that a human being has to do in order to be able to survive, right, which is included in eating, sleeping, or whatever, that's working. Because if you don't work for a living, you're going to starve to death. So that also is included in the things that, you know, a human being has to do that doesn't enable him to learn during that time. So if you're going to say learning all the time doesn't literally mean all the time, it means all the time that it's humanly possible. So what is not included in that? Eating, sleeping, taking care of your bodily needs, and working. That's, I think, the simplest way of understanding Rabbi Shmuel. And it fits into the language of Gemara. Gemara says, Yochel, I might think that you take it literally, right? Not literally, because there are other things that a person has to do as a human being that prevent him from learning at that time. That, I think, is the simplest understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. Now I'll tell you some other understandings that are also true. They're not each one is not exclusive of the other. They're all. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says the following. He says, it doesn't say you should stop learning. it says Haneg Bohem Minig Derech Eretz, with the Torah work, meaning that sometimes you're sitting and learning in the Israel Center or in a Beis Medrash, and sometimes you're learning in the field while you're working. If you can whistle while you work, you can learn while you work too. Right? And I remember we had a vineyard that we worked as a moshav years ago. Now we rent it out, other people work it. But in any case, we used to work the vineyard. And in the winter, especially long winters, Rosh Yeshivas used to send us bachrim who needed literally to chill out, okay, and work in the fields for a while. Why? Because they were learning too intensely. And they needed, what's it called, you know, time to rest a little bit.
To ground.
Right. So we put them to work in the kerem. They had to prune the vines or whatever. And while they were pruning the vines, they had earphones on. And they told me they're listening to shiurim, to drushes, to shmuzim, whatever. I never listened what was on the earphones. I assumed that they'd tell me the truth. That's what they were listening to. So they were working, and they were learning at the same time. So you can be Mekayim both, Rav Shmuel. Haneg bohem minig derech eretz, says Rav Chaim Voloshiner. Together with the learning work. You're not stopping learning. You're continuing learning. Except you're not learning sitting at a sefer in a Beis Medrash. You're learning while you work. So that said, there's no contradiction anymore. There's only one problem with that. That limits the kind of occupation that a Jewish man can have. Because you can learn Torah, review your Daf Yomi, your Mishnayos or whatever, while you prune grapevines. Okay? No problem. No contradiction. But if you're a brain surgeon and you're doing a very intricate brain operation on somebody, and at the same time you're reviewing your Daf Yomi with earphones, you're a murderer, right? You can't do that. You have to concentrate on what you're doing. Can't be looking your Daf Yomi while you're doing the brain surgeon. So a brain surgeon, lechora, can't be a Jewish man, can't be a brain surgeon, because he can't learn while he works. And that would limit a lot of things that a person's an accountant. When he's working, right, and as an accountant for people, if he's thinking about his Torah, he's a ganav. Because you have to put your mind to what you're doing. Do a good job. And many occupations are like that. It would have to be occupations that don't need a lot of concentration, just need to get into the habit of doing, like cutting a vine, and that you could do. So there's another explanation. And that is true. You may not be able to learn your Mishnayos or your Daf Yomi while you're making a brain surgery. But you can be reviewing the laws that apply Torah-wise to making a brain surgery. Meaning, I should be going over in my mind now what I'm allowed to take a risk and what not. Where I have to ask another opinion and not, which is also Torah. The Torah governs how to make a brain operation. Doesn't tell you what to do, but it tells you the general guidelines of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, where you have to ask another opinion or whatever. So while you're making the brain surgery, think about the halachos that deal with brain surgery. That also limits, because there are things that you need to concentrate on, and there's not too many halachos of what to do. For instance, if you work on an assembly line, and your job is to put one bolt into the chassis of a car. The car comes by, you put in that one bolt. So you have to concentrate and make sure you put in the bolt right. Okay, otherwise the car will fall apart or whatever. Person will get into an accident. So you have a pretty big responsibility to make sure that bolt gets in perfectly. But how many halachas are there on how to put a bolt in a car thing? How much can you think about that all day? So that doesn't fit the description even of thinking of the Torah that applies to putting that bolt in, right? So that also wouldn't be able to be the kind of occupation that you could fulfill learning and working at the same time. And therefore, the main explanation of Yishmael is, I think, the following. And let me give you a preface to it, and then well, see how it applies and see some very eye-opening things about people who work and learn how significant their work is in vis-a-vis of their learning. the Meiri explains the following Gemara, and this seems like we have nothing to do with what we're talking about. Take my word for it. I will connect it in a second. But for you need this idea first. You're all familiar with the Gemara that says that whoever eats on the ninth day of Tishrei, Erev Yom Kippur, is like he fasted 2 days. Familiar with that? If you eat and drink on the ninth, it's like you fasted the ninth and the tenth.
Yep.
Says the Meiri, what's the idea? I mean, if it's a mitzvah to eat on the ninth, so you ate. Doesn't say anywhere, if you eat on Shabbos, it's like you fasted. It doesn't have to be like you fasted. You fulfill the mitzvah of eating. Why does it have to be that if you eat on the ninth, it's like you fasted 2 days? What's the meaning? Says the Meiri the following. He says, when the Torah wants us to fast on Yom Kippur, it's not necessarily to afflict ourselves. You're afflicting your body by not eating, but there's a purpose to it. The purpose is that your mind should not be on your physical body, and your mind should be on spiritual things, on doing tshuva, on getting closer to God. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. And the Torah said, if you're going to be eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, you're not going to be able to devote yourself totally to the spiritual essence of what Yom Kippur is. So if you don't eat Erev Yom Kippur, then the fast is going to be oppressive. And you know what you're going to do the whole Yom Kippur? Think about the knedlach of after the fast. Think about your stomach. And that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants you to be free of those thoughts so you can devote them totally to Yom Kippur. Therefore, the Torah gave a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. Because we want that you should be able to fast and not concentrate on your stomach. You should be free. So you only can do that if you eat Erev Yom Kippur, and you eat a lot. So then you'll be able to, on Yom Kippur, not think about your eating and drinking, not be involved in it, and think about the spiritual nature of Yom Kippur. So the purpose of eating Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare for the mitzvah of fasting. Says the Meiri, preparation for a mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. Example, there's no mitzvah to build a sukkah. There's a mitzvah to dwell in the sukkah on sukkahs. So if you have a ready built sukkah, okay, or somebody else built the sukkah for you, you don't have to go and build the sukkah. But if you don't have a sukkah, the only way they're going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah is by building a sukkah. So the building of the sukkah is only a preparation for the mitzvah, but it's part of the mitzvah itself. In other words, if somebody asks you, what mitzvah are you involved in now, 10 days before or 5 days before sukkahs, when you're building your sukkah, I'm involved in the mitzvah of sukkah, except I'm involved in the preparatory part, but that's all part of the mitzvah. Building the sukkah is part of the mitzvah of sukkah. There's no specific mitzvah, but preparing for a mitzvah is part of the mitzvah. So says the Meiri, when I'm eating Erev Yom Kippur, what mitzvah am I preparing for? Fasting. And preparing for the mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. So by eating on Erev Yom Kippur, it's like I fasted 2 days. The day of Yom Kippur itself, I actually fasted. And the day before, I prepared for the fast. That's considered part of the fast itself. So it's like you fasted 2 days. So it comes out from this, that preparing for a mitzvah is part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. And therefore, a person who works for a living, and his intention is to work for one purpose, so I can make a living, and I can live. And the purpose of living is that I can conduct a Torah life. I can raise a Torah family, I can learn Torah. If I don't earn a living, I have nowhere to live. I'll have nowhere what to eat. I won't be able to learn Torah. I won't be able to raise a Torah family, right? So I'm working with the intention of preparing myself for learning and observing Torah. Okay? Comes out that the working is a preparation for the mitzvah of learning. And we just said that preparing for a mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. So all that time, the person's learning with that intention, his working with that intention, his working is mamish, part of his learning. It's like he's learning Torah. So haneg bohem minig derech eretz means if you work with the right intention, your working becomes part of your learning. So if a person works 8 hours a day and he learns 2 hours a day, there's an hour in the morning before he starts to work and an hour in the evening when he finishes work. So he thinks that he only has 2 hours of learning. But if he's working with the right intention, the 8 hours that he's working are part of his learning because they're the preparation for the learning. So he has 10 hours a day of learning. So he's really learning day and night. Even though 8 hours of that day and night he's working because it's a preparation for his learning. Chsav Sofer says is the concept behind tefillin. It says that tefillin, person who wears tefillin is like he's learning Torah. So he says, what's the connection? He says, we put tefillin on our left arm, our weaker arm. Okay, the weaker arm you put the tefillin. Why? Because really you're supposed to wear tefillin all day. Even when you're working, whatever, that was a real mitzvah. We don't do that because tefillin also need to have a clean body and you can't take your mind off of it. And we're not on the level to wear tefillin and have our mind on it the whole day. So we only wear it during davening when you can pretty much have your mind on the tefillin and have a clean body. But really the mitzvah is all day. Okay. So if a person would wear tefillin on his right arm, his stronger arm, it would interfere with his work. So the Torah said put it on your left arm so you can work with your right arm and it won't interfere with your work. A person who, when he's working, knows that he's connected to God and his work is for the sake of learning and observing Torah, because if he doesn't earn a living, he won't be able to live. But he's living in order to learn Torah and observe the Torah. So his work is considered like learning Torah. So wearing the tefillin is like learning Torah. He says that's why there's no mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov and at night. Because it's only when you have to work and you can't learn that you could say that wearing tefillin and having the right intention is like learning. But at night you don't have to work. Shabbos and Yom Tov you're not allowed to work. Then you have to learn. Again, you can't wear tefillin as an excuse. Right, tefillin takes the place of learning where it's impossible to learn and you have to work, so the working becomes part of the learning. But in a case where you don't have to work, so then you have to learn. So that, the Ksav Sofer, there's much more which we will get to next week. I'm going to give you some other Divrei Torah that are phenomenal of how much this idea is true, that a person who works with the right intention, he's working to earn a living, and he's living in order to observe and learn the Torah, that his work time is mamish like a person learning. Next week we'll start with two Divrei Torah, one from the Pele Yoetz in a different Sefer that he has, and one from one to answer a question on a contradiction in Gemara, where this idea that a person who's working with the right intention, when he's working, is considered like he's learning. So that we'll get to, and Mr. Hashem will start with next week. And we still have to explain Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And we still have to understand, okay, now we have an argument. Should you be learning all the time, or can you combine learning with working? Who's the halacha like? What should you do? That's what we'll discuss next week. Mr. Shimon. Right.